33. And just with the Word of God before us and opened, going to look to the Lord that He might come and use His Word to help us. The longer we go on as Christians, the more conscious we seem to be that we need Him every hour and need His help continually, every part of our service for Him. So let's just pray now as we turn to the Word together. Our Father and our God, we do thank Thee again today for the One who is our Saviour. Thank Thee, Lord, that He has become the High Priest of His people, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, praying for us even at this moment. And Lord, as we look into our own hearts and we see weakness and frailty, Lord, we see a proneness to wander from Thee. We thank You, Lord, for the One who is the Chief, the Great and the Good Shepherd. And Father, today we thank Thee for the love that every Christian enjoys. Thank You, Lord, that indeed we are loved with an everlasting love, and we've been led by grace that love to know. But Lord, we live in a broken world, and all around us there's indication of man's wickedness. And Lord, we are out each day rubbing shoulders with people that by and large have no interest in Thee. And Father, it's so easy for us to become downcast, so easy for us to focus upon the circumstances of this sinful world, and Lord, then to become despondent and to become discouraged. Father, bless our hearts today. Uplift our spirits. Strengthen us. Lead us on with Thyself. We thank Thee, Lord, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Lord, strengthen our hearts for serving Thee. And Lord, if there is one that has lost out along the way, may this be a great morning for them, when they will be stirred up again. God will come, grant new enthusiasm and zeal for the things of God. And Lord, for any who are not saved, whether here this morning or listening on sermon audio, may Thy word come, Lord, like may it be like that nail in a sure place, like the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. May some dear soul seek and find the Lord and call upon Him while He is near. Bless us now. Continue with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter 33 in the prophecy of Isaiah relates to us the distressing circumstances of Judah and Jerusalem at the hand of Sennacherib. This man, Sennacherib, he had now launched his second campaign against the people that I just mentioned, and he had done so without provocation. He had invaded, he had spoiled, and he had caused great injury to those who had done him no harm. And in effect, he behaved in a way that was typical of the Assyrians. They were marked for their violence, for their deceit, and for their treachery. And when we look at them as a people or as an army, it seems that truth and mercy were unknown to them. But brethren and sisters, history records that God often repays such people in their own coin. And when they have spoiled and done the worst that they can do and gone as far as God would permit them to go, then they themselves are spoiled. And in the destruction of this wicked people that I have mentioned, God's name would be glorified. It says there in verse 3, at the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of Thyself, the nations were scattered. It's very important for us to remember that no man is a match for God, however prevalent he seems to be, and however arrogantly he speaks, he is no match for God. The very notable thing for us this morning is that the people here who were being harassed by Sennacherib and his fellow travelers, they prayed. And they prayed well. In verse 2 it says, O Lord, be gracious unto us, we have waited for Thee. Be Thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. They had prayed for themselves that the Lord might be gracious to them, and they have indicated that they have fulfilled their responsibility in waiting before Him. You and I would do well to always remember the promise that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It shall, it's very definite, and it's very important therefore that we wait before the Lord for ourselves and for the work that the Lord has involved us in. But these people, as they pray, they also cry to God for those who are employed in military service. And they pray for them, be thou their arm every morning. Be thou their arm every morning. Now the men of war would need continual supplies of strength and courage. As each day they would go out, they would have new difficulties to encounter. Just like you and me sometimes. But they needed help that was beyond flesh and blood. And without the Lord's assistance, they would become undone. It's very notable in this chapter that deliverance for them came swiftly. And folks, as we have often mentioned to you here in the congregation, each one of us who put our shoulder to the wheel are involved in spiritual warfare. And therefore, to achieve is not going to be a pushover. And our own hands are not sufficient to see the Lord's work go forward. Nor are we able to bring anything to pass without God strengthening our arms. And therefore, as I look at this prayer for the military men this morning, I see a prayer that each one of us can offer for each other. Be thou their arm every morning. Referring to the Lord's strength in any given situation. There's a great illustration of how this takes place over there in the book of Genesis, chapter 49. It gives us in that chapter some details of the life of Joseph. It says in verse 22 that Joseph was a fruitful bough, and so he was. Even a fruitful bough by a well, which branches run over the wall. But it wasn't all easy for him. It says in the next verse, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Now, on another occasion, we did mention the various troubles that he faced. He was a man, and you'd find it very hard to pick holes in him as far as his character was concerned, and very often without a cause he found himself the object of accusation and of hatred. But verse 24, it says, but his bow abode in strength. The word strength there is a word that is, in the original, it is highly poetical. It refers to an endless flowing stream, something that is going on and on and on, or to looking out into what seemed to be eternal hills, just hill after hill after hill. So he says, but his bow abode in that what seemed to be eternal, everlasting strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the mighty, by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. In these days that we have just read about here, it was the practice for a young person who was learning archery, when he was being taught to pull the string back, that the adult would place their hands over his hands and teach them how to pull the bow back and to shoot in that way. And that really is what we're seeing here. And Joseph, in all of his difficulties, very aware of his weakness, just as you and I are sometimes, his bow abode in strength because the Lord's arm was made bare. And just as the teacher here, the tutor, would teach the young person how to use the bow effectively and how to pull the string back, Joseph in his endeavours was strengthened, and you and I in our fellowship can be strengthened. It's important to remember you're not on your own. The apostle referred to our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The word fellowship there actually means partnership. Our partnership is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And I think that every person gathered here will recognize, every one of us will recognize ourselves as those who are in that category that always need divine help. We're always looking to the Lord for help. And really, this prayer, "Be thou their arm every morning," it is a rational plea. A rational plea from a frail people. And so it is today. And I'd give a title to the message this morning, "Getting God's Arm." Getting God's arm. It says there, "Be thou their arm every morning." And if you and I can get God's arm, then we can go on with Him. I want you to notice, first of all, the importance of getting God's upholding arm. Getting God's upholding arm. Pressures are never far away. We have a house full of children. There's always something. You're out in your workplace, not be very long until there's some kind of a pressure come your way. And these pressures all urge us to call upon God for help. We are acutely aware that we must have His arm to lean on. We must have that upholding arm of the Lord continually. There's a lovely illustration over there, if you would turn with me, please, to the Song of Solomon and chapter 8. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, as each person here would be aware, while there are some differences of interpretation regarding the Song of Solomon, undoubtedly there is a reference, or there is a story, of a bride and a bridegroom. And the bride, of course, being the church, that is, people like you and I who make up the body of Christ, and Christ Himself being the heavenly bridegroom. It says there in verse 5, "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness?" Now, to come up from the wilderness shows that there is progression here. The wilderness is indicative of everything that is dry and barren, and there's no life there. And here we have one coming up from the wilderness. So they're coming up to a time of refreshing. It says, "Coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved." The wilderness, of course, is a place not only of dryness and barrenness, it's a wearisome place. It's a place where it would be very easy to lose your bearings. A place then where it would be easy to become downcast and even in despair. But the church here is pictured progressing. "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?" The word "leaning" there simply means to strengthen or to rest self by leaning or looking to another. That means that when we have done our best, we look beyond ourselves and we cast ourselves upon the Lord and look beyond self-ability and we lean constantly upon Him. And brothers and sisters, you and I can do that. We can do that continually. If I was to look with you there over in the Psalm number 17, Psalm 17, we're still thinking here of getting God's upholding arm, just as the church there in Song of Solomon was pictured, coming out of the wilderness up to refreshment and to where there was more life and encouragement, leaning upon the beloved. You and I are leaning upon Him. It says there now, in the Psalm 17, the psalmist says, "Hold up my goings in thy palms, that my footsteps slip not." Here the psalmist, he wanted to be active. He wanted to be advancing. But again in verse 5 here, he casts himself upon the Lord. "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." He's very, very conscious here that he has his own limitations. We have the language here, of course. Well, it's the language of conviction. He wants to go on in the Lord's paths. He wants to go on in the way that will honour the Lord. "Hold up my goings in thy paths." But he knew that going on And if there was an injury regarding him, that that would result in some way in a fall. And that being the case, the cause that he represented could be evil spoken of. And you consider ourselves today. We want to advance. We want to progress in God's ways. But if there is a fall, now I'm not preaching sinless perfection because we'll not know that this side of eternity. But if there is a notable fall and the world is looking on, then that can easily cause the work of God and the cause of God to be evil spoken of. It can distress the strong. If you see someone who has fallen into sin and they seem to be wallowing in it, it can distress those who are doing their utmost to serve the Lord to the best of their ability. It can really discourage the weak. It can affect a man's usefulness or a woman's usefulness. It's also the language here, not only of conviction, but the language of apprehension. You see, he knew his footsteps were prone to slide. He knew he was liable to slip. In fact, in another psalm, if you look with me there, in the psalm number 37, you would know these verses well. It says here, in psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The word ordered there simply means to be established. The steps of a good man, or that would be a Christian man or woman, are established by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand or his arm. There again, when he sees that he's going to fall, he is leaning upon the Lord. He's knowing and experiencing in a way that is very beneficial to him the upholding arm of the Lord. Who hasn't been there? Felt this need to cast ourselves again right upon him. I was to look now again in the book of Psalms, just at Psalm 119. And as I turn to this passage, could I say that maybe I'm speaking to someone in particular and you're feeling, as you haven't for a long time, your need of God's upholding arm in your service for him. Well, this is a word for you. It says over there in Psalm 119, if we look together there at the verse 117, the little title, the Hebrew word at the title of this little section, Samach, means hold thou me up. That's what it means. And you see it down through the passage there, verse 117. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Brethren and sisters, sometimes our weakness surprises us. We made progress for perhaps a number of months or even years, and then we are confronted with our own weakness, perhaps in the face of some temptation that we didn't see coming. And we are put in that position where we must cry to the Lord, hold thou me up, and I shall be saved. Whenever I think of that, I've always tend to think of our thought life. Our thought life's important. I just read to you what it says over there in Isaiah. Because whatever our thought is, and we meditate upon, then it inevitably leads to some kind of action. Isaiah number 36, chapter number 36, there. It says in verse 3, it's a very important verse for you and I. We do remember that there's much attack on the Christian's mind in these days. The devil will come along and attack your thinking and have you to think very negatively about yourself. He'll have you to doubt about God's cause, and therefore we're prone to act in a way that ties in with our thinking. Become discouraged. But it says here, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The word stay there, that is the same word, samach, that we find over in Psalm 119. Hold thou me up. And just as he is able to hold us up in our work for him, he's able to hold up our thinking as well. Hence we have the whole armour of God, the helmet of salvation. And I think in these days the devil is very busy attacking the thinking of God's people, and wrong thinking leads to wrong feeling, which leads to wrong acting. But the Lord is able to hold us up. And maybe this morning, brother or sister, you feel you're on slippery ground. Maybe there's been many fairy darts coming your way that perhaps very few people, if anyone else, knows about that. But remember, as we said at the very beginning, we're all aware we're in a spiritual battle. And we need to get the Lord's arm. And we can pray for each other and pray for ourselves that we will continually get God's upholding arm. David was a mighty man. We've seen him crying out to the Lord to uphold him. Lots of others through the scriptures as well. Let's not overestimate ourselves. But on the other hand, let's not limit the Lord. He's able to uphold us and to strengthen us and to help us. Getting God's upholding arm, how important it is. But I want to move on to another point. That is the importance of getting God's arm in specific tasks. The Bible says, whatever thine hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And you take a wee look at yourself, as I do sometimes, and you ask the question, well, what might? And you think, well, I don't really have any might. But I would like to do whatever the Lord would have me to do. Well, I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Judges. And there's a person just like that there. This is for a specific task. I'll give you a second or two to turn to that. It's Judges and chapter 6. Well, here we have in Judges chapter 6, if you look down there to about verse 11, you have the man Gideon. Gideon's opinion of himself is that he's the least in his father's house. You can read that on through the verses, verse 15 there. He's the least in his father's house. As far as he's concerned, he's insignificant. But the Lord comes along to him and he says to him in verse 3, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Might it add that at this time Israel were hiding generally from those, the Midianites, and he was hiding, threshing some wheat by a wine press. He was faithful in that. He wasn't at the threshing floor, but at least he was trying to do it somewhere else and trying to hide it from the Midianites. We will give him that. But the Lord comes along and he says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now you can picture this man. He's discouraged and disheartened. Maybe he's generally alone in what he's doing. Certainly, he doesn't have other members of his family with him. And he says to the Lord in verse 13, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles that our fathers told us of?" In other words, when you look at his reply here, there is doubt, confusion, there's weak faith, there's a feeling of being defeated. He's all if, why, and where. So rather than being encouraged by the Lord saying, "The Lord is with thee, the mighty man of valor," he's looking inward. And he's saying, "What are you talking about, Lord? I don't have any strength. And it seems to me as I look around us that there's nothing but problems and rejection and trouble here. Where be all the miracles that our fathers told us of?" He's definitely discouraged at this point. But we cannot forget the words that the Lord spoke to him. "The Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor." If you look at verse 14, it says, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might." It says, "Have not I sent thee?" That was what it was all about. Go in what might? Go in the Lord's might. Gideon was to look beyond himself. He was to look to the Lord, to the one who said, "You're a mighty man of valor." The Lord was telling him here what he could be. In other words, the Lord was showing him how he would help him, how he could get the Lord's arm in this specific task of delivering his people from the Midianites. I'm sure that as he looked at himself and looked at the circumstances, he thought it was well beyond him. Sometimes you feel like that. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, it doesn't matter where you're speaking to four-year-olds or those that are an awful lot older than that. You feel that as you look at yourself and you look at the need. Look at the need of this village. So unable to do anything to get the desired response. But the answer, brothers and sisters, he got the Lord's arm. If you look with me over there in verse 34, it says, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." Where it says there, "the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon," literally means that he clothed himself with Gideon. Gideon wasn't filled by God the Holy Spirit. Every Christian is indwelt by the Spirit. But this infilling is of the utmost importance if we are to have the Lord's arm in specific tasks. It doesn't matter whether it's pulpit ministration or whether you're laboring away with boys and girls and nobody else hardly knows you exist. You still need the Lord's arm. If you look over there in chapter 7 and verse 11, it says, "And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward thine hand shall be strengthened to go down to the host." He's speaking, the Lord is still speaking here to Gideon at this moment in time, even after he has indicated that he's going to go. It says, "Your arms are going to be strengthened." We always want the strength before we need it in the work. You ever come to a meeting, let's just use the example of a teaching meeting to boys and girls, and you feel that you're simply not able to do it, then when you got there, the Lord has really undertook for you. That's getting the Lord's arm. And we must move quickly. Look at verse 4. It says, "Gideon came to Jordan," verse 4 of chapter 8. "And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing." Now the number of conscripts here was down to 300. There was among these men a readiness. They were reliable, that had been proved. They were resting upon the Lord. They were realizing that they must go in the Lord's strength. And they were going to be relentless in his hand. So here we have, very briefly, in this man Gideon, a man who, to all intents and purposes, was very ordinary. And the Lord came along to him doing very ordinary work, and he said, "The Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor." He was astonished, surprised. He was initially reluctant, but then he went. He went because he got the arm of the Lord for that specific task that he had to do. And every one of us has something to do for the Lord. And many of you are involved in specific tasks. And even though by the world and largely it may be unnoticed, you know how hard it is sometimes. But here's the secret, getting the arm of the Lord. Good to pray, as I said, for each other. "Be thou their arm every morning." Over there in Isaiah chapter 12, it says there in verse 2, it says, "God, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength." Some facts here. Number one, we need constant assistance. We have really mentioned that. But it says the Lord Jehovah is my strength. The word strength there actually means great might. Great might. And again, we're reminded that any might or power we have comes from him. In fact, it's notable there where it says, "Jehovah is my strength." It is in the present tense. Jehovah is my strength right now. The Lord would not have us to go along defeated and dream that someday we might be strong. Because whatever Christian you are and however experienced you are, continually you'll be casting yourselves upon him. We all come to him saying, "Lord, be my arm every morning." And as you go out, and maybe you're thinking today, there's something else the Lord would have me to do that I haven't really been involved in before. I'd like to do it, but I don't have any strength. Just like Gideon. You look around us, you see the dryness. If, why, and where? If the Lord be for us, why then has all this befallen us, and where be all the miracles that our fathers told us of? Any house and estate in Northern Ireland will teach you that very quickly. That there's barrenness all around you. But get the Lord's arm. Get the Lord's arm for a specific task. And that will make the difference. But not only do we need to get the Lord's arm, his upholding arm to help us, and his arm for specific tasks, we need to get God's restraining arm. God's restraining arm. Maybe return, please, to Psalm 19. Reading just yesterday, in the study I was sitting reading, and I was reading about Luther, Martin Luther, reading about various other individuals that had been used in a most notable way. And one of the difficulties that every one of them seemed to come up against was self. Self. And they needed God's restraining arm so they might continue to honour him, that the glory might go to him. Over there in the Psalm 19 and in the verse 13, it says there, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression." Presumptuous sins, the sin of pride especially, the word presumptuous is referring to. And I'm not suggesting for a moment that anyone in the congregation is full of themselves, but if we ever get notions about ourselves, then here's a verse that would bring us down again. Because it reminds us of the awful danger of pride, and pride cometh before a fall. And we want to pray continually, brethren. Always remember that we're instruments. That what we do it for the Lord's glory. I'll just turn quickly here to 2 Samuel, and another verse, I think it's important. 2 Samuel chapter 12 says there, says in verse 13, this is a man who didn't, he did not pray to be kept, certainly at a time in his life, he didn't pray to be kept from presumptuous sins. David should have been out fighting with the men at that time of year. He wasn't doing it. Therefore, he was in the wrong place and behaving in the wrong way. It says in verse 13, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." Now, that was true. And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin, that thou shalt not die." And here's the very sad part. Verse 14. "Howbeit, because by this deed," that is his whole relationship with Bathsheba, putting Uriah the Hittite in the front of the battle that he might be killed, one sin led to another. And he was just tripping over himself time after time. It says, "Because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." What an awful thing. Whatever we do affects others always. The word blaspheme there is a word which means to pierce or to sting. It gives occasion to the enemies of the Lord to pierce or to sting by their criticisms and their condemnation and their talking about what was this for this man of God to behave. And where he was at this point in time, there was no honour and there was no witness for the Lord. And therefore, brethren and sisters, in this day when everything's available, and it seems that very few people bat an eyelid at anything, how important it is that the Christian man or woman asks the Lord to help him and he gets the Lord's restraining arm. Even among ourselves. Is it not true that sometimes we might have said the wrong thing? Might have taken the wrong action? Getting God's restraining arm. David lived the rest of his days to wish that he'd had the restraining arm of the Lord. He was careless. It wasn't the Lord. He was careless, and what an awful price he paid and the witness paid at that time. One other thing I want to mention, getting God's arm. We get his upholding arm, we need that. Get his arm for specific tasks like Gideon, and the Lord can use us. Get his restraining arm. But get God's arm in evident favour. Getting God's arm, getting God to work in a way that is clear to everyone that he is with us. This is a final reference. It's like Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, because of time we're not going to go on too long. It says here in verse 16, Moses is a vessel. He's an instrument. He's doing what he can, sometimes reluctantly. He's plodding on. He's already had the arm of the Lord to uphold him. He's had the arm of the Lord regarding specific tasks. He's had the arm of the Lord, but he's still awake and frail. And look what it says in verse 16 of chapter 15 in Exodus. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord. Till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Moses, if ever in his life, needed evidence of the favour of God, he needed it now. He stood in a cul-de-sac at the brink of the sea, and he needed the Lord to work in his behalf, and the Lord did that. The Lord did that, and he attributes everything, not only in this verse, as many other verses, he attributes it to the greatness of thine arm. In other words, to the greatness of God's strength. And folks, it's always good when we're praying that we will get God's arm, or that our fellow laborers will get God's arm, that we pray that the world in all its sin and debauchery would see that God is with his people. We heard the other week that the one saved now and the other one saved again, and that's the normal way of things, but we're thankful for that. Who hath despised the day of small things? But we look for the Lord to move in a most remarkable way. That even the greatest skeptics, that they will look around them and have to say, as it's quoted there in the Psalm 126, the Lord hath done great things for them. And you and I can pray to that end. In fact, here is a very simple and a very straightforward and a very important prayer that every one of us can pray for each other, that we might get the Lord's arm. Pray for your minister and for everyone else in the work. Pray every day. Just pray, Lord, be their arm every morning. There are lots of other ways we need his arm. We've mentioned just some today. And we trust that you will get his arm today and tomorrow and in the coming days. And you know all the benefits and blessings of knowing the Lord's strength with you. Whether it is in upholding you, whether it is with specific tasks, his restraining arm, or regarding his evident favour, that this may be our portion in the coming days. May the Lord help us all to pray to that end.